he's midway through the ministry, he's been healing, he's been doing some awesome things, very surprising things actually, walking on water, raising the dead, healing the blind, the deaf, and basically saying the most extraordinary things. And the way he's been acting, people have been crowding around him to find out what is he going to say next, what is he going to do next? Who is he? Who is he? He's a rabbi, a teacher, and not only the crowds, but the 12, the followers, the disciples, are hanging on his every word. And with that CV, he asks the question, who do people say that I am? Who was Jesus? Well, do you know what? People then were not sure. And even right to the cross, right to when he's in front of Pilate, right to when he's hanging on the cross, people were not sure. The crowds, they weren't sure. Is this him? Is this the one we've been waiting for? This week I did an assembly at St. Martin's School. I love going into the schools. And I told a story of Jesus calming the storm. He's asleep in the boat, the disciples there hanging on really for life, for dear life, as the storm whips up, the wind's blowing, the lightning comes, and it's chaos, and they really believe, these experienced fishermen, that they're going to drown. And what happens? They're like, how can you sleep in this? And if they are going to drown, they're going to make sure that Jesus doesn't do it while he's asleep. So they wake him up as they fear for their lives. And he stands up. That would have been a challenge for him, standing up with a boat going up and down. And he speaks sternly to the wind and the waves. And what happens? They're still. They're still. That's some lovely images in assembly of the contrast of the storm and the stillness. And then he turns and looks at the disciples and says, he challenges their faith. You little faith. And they look at each other, they look at him, and they say, who is he? Who is this that speaks to waves and storm, and they respond? Who is he? These are his disciples. They are amazed by his authority, by his power. Surely, having encountered the miracle maker, other people must have had an opinion as to who he must be. So he asks the question to the disciples, who are people saying, who are they saying I am? Who do they think I am? And of course they give some suggestions, they repeat what people are saying, maybe John the Baptist, you know, maybe a prophet, maybe Elijah. And of course John the Baptist declared early on, when he was talking about Jesus, he said, look, it's the Lamb of God. Look, that's who he is, the Lamb of God. He will take away the sin of the world. Saviour. But you know what happens to John the Baptist when he's in prison and he begins to get anxious and he's not sure about everything, really, as you can imagine. He's just about to be beheaded. But before that happens, he sends out his disciples, because he has followers. He sends them out to Jesus to find out, who are you? Are you the one? Are you the one we've been waiting for? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for somebody else? Who are you? John the Baptist asks that. And what does Jesus say to him, to the disciples, to take back to him? Look around, what do you see? Here is the evidence, the proof. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Go back and tell John. And he doesn't say anything else. He said, look, here is the evidence. And after they've gone back, he starts to talk about John and what an amazing person he was. Today, in our society, if people are asked a question about Jesus that can be a mixed reaction. You know, if somebody's talking to you about life questions and you feel like they're really searching, why not ask them, say, who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think Jesus was? See what they say. And amazing, it will start a really good discussion. Some would say similar things to what the disciples were reporting. Well, yeah, he was a really good teacher, wasn't he? Really good man. Billy Connolly was actually quoted. Now, he's not a Christian, he doesn't profess to be a Christian. I'm not making a judgment. But he says, I think Jesus was a wonderful man. That's Billy Connolly. But some people really struggle with the existence of Jesus. And one of the things that is said today is, well, he wasn't real, was he? And maybe that's because we've kind of mixed up for years Santa and Jesus and stuff at Christmas. So it's like, maybe we need to be thinking, how do we present Jesus, the real Jesus, as to who he is? Many of you know, there'll be more publicity about this, that in January we're starting an Alpha course in Muffins on the High Street. Very excited about that. And one of the things that Alpha does, it has a different topic each week, looks at the basics of Christian faith. And one of the things it says is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And I love the session on that, because what it does, it looks at the evidence for Jesus. It points to historical documents, which that there are many documents which are written by the followers of Jesus. But there are historical documents from people who are not Christians. So Tacitus, a Roman historian, wrote about this man called Jesus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing all of these names right, but also Suetonius, who's also a Roman historian, referred to him. Josephus was a Jewish historian, so not a follower of the way, not a Christian, but he wrote about this man Jesus. There is lots of documentation, historical documents about Jesus. So if anybody ever says that to you, then you know how to say it. And in fact, there are more documents that refer to Jesus than some of the historical characters that are taught in schools. The Roman Empire, it's really important to make sure that we know that Jesus is a figure from history that is recorded in historical documents. Who is Jesus? Well, of course, there's more than is written in those, because we also have the people of faith who wrote lots of things about Jesus and what he was like, what he said. Why is Jesus asking this question, who do people say that I am? Is he needing affirmation for himself? Is that why he does it? Is he uncertain as to who he is? Well, from what we have in the Gospels, we can see that actually, no, Jesus is really certain of his identity. We know that because at the baptism, the Father says these wonderful words. This is my son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus hears these words. And then there's the time of temptation, and he has to go and do battle with Satan and all the things that are around identity and who he is and his mission, his ministry, and he comes out from there knowing for certain the path of his mission and affirmed in who he is, actually. And that's what the battle sometimes does for us, makes us stronger. So after 40 days in the desert, Jesus is affirmed and he comes out full of the Spirit, the scripture tells us, and then we see the signs and wonders and the powerful words that he says. He teaches with authority, he forgives sins. That isn't just a good person who can forgive sins. Who else could do this? Son of God, somebody sinless. When the religious leaders challenge his authority, he speaks of the Father who witnesses to who he is and the relationship he has with the Father. It's wonderful. I and my Father are one. I only do what the Father is doing. So Why ask the question? Well, in Mark's Gospel, some of you might know this, the commentators and the theologians, they talk about something called a messianic secret. And that basically means where Jesus says, don't tell anybody. He heals somebody and says, yeah, but don't tell anybody. And of course they do. And, you know, other things happen. He says, don't go and announce this, which seems a bit strange to us because, you know, we automatically want to tell somebody if we were healed or if it was good news. You know, it's like he doesn't want to sensationalise things. And maybe it's about, you know, people not coming to him for the wrong reasons, just wanting to see a sign, a bit like Herod did, remember that? And he doesn't want that. He already has crowds following him. But then we see this conversation, and Peter makes a declaration as to who he is, and there is a shift. And beyond that, soon after that, he starts to openly declare words as to who he is and his identity. As he begins to prepare the disciples for his suffering and what that might look like to follow him and what his mission is to save the world. So after Peter reporting various descriptions of the hearsay and the disciples doing that, you know, Jesus cuts to the chase and he looks straight at Peter and says, but who do you say I am? But what about you? What do you think? Do you know what? I think God's not interested in hearsay or gossip. You know, we're quite good at that sometimes, aren't we? Reporting what other people have said. Oh, so-and-so said this. So-and-so thinks this. You know, God is interested in what we think. What do you think? Who do you think I am? So if somebody is saying, well, at church we believe this, or, you know, whether that's Martin's or whatever, or, you know, my parents always taught me this, and don't get me wrong, it's good to be brought up in the teaching of Jesus and to have those sound Christian principles. But Jesus says to us, come on, at the end of the day, what do you think? Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? And of course, the only way we can really find out who somebody is, you know, if they walked in the door and said, I don't know, the Home Secretary, or if they said, you know, they were the Minister for Northern Ireland, or they said they were the Mayor, you know, unless we knew that person, many of us do know who all the politicians are, but if we didn't know that, we'd have to actually think, actually, I need to find out if that's right, and we get to know them a bit, maybe, and then we think, yeah, actually, what you're saying is true. What you're saying is true. So how do we know who somebody is, if they are the same? We actually have to spend time with them, and we have to get to know them. And that's what it's like with Jesus. We will never truly know who Jesus is unless we talk to him, unless we pray, unless we pick up our Bibles and kind of look at the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, unless we actually think, is that right what Jimmy said in the book? I'm going to check it out in Mark chapter 8. I'm going to check that out, if that's right. Peter says, when Jesus asks him, who do you say I am? He says this, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God. And if you're wide awake this morning, you might say, he didn't say that, he doesn't say that in Mark. It says it in Matthew 16. So each of the gospel writers, you know, they all report in a different way, and they don't say all the things. But each of them has a different focus. So Matthew says this, that Peter says this, you are the Christ, which is what Mark says. And then he puts a bit more in that he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we just sung, isn't it? You're the King of glory, you're the Prince of Peace. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus, the Messiah, reigns. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one we're waiting for to save us. You are the Son of the living God. And you know what, as we do that, as we pick up our Bibles, as we talk to one another about who Jesus is, you know, as we pray and talk to him, we don't have to have clever words. We can talk to him like a friend. And there's a proverb that talks about him being closer than a brother. A friend closer than a brother. As Jesus makes himself known to us, we begin to see him for who he is. Nobody can persuade us otherwise, because we know him. We have a relationship. He leads us to the cross. And do you know what? I think when we look at the cross, that's where we meet the real Jesus. You know, we're sharing bread and wine, and we're taking bread and wine, we're remembering. But do you know what? When we encounter Jesus on the cross and we kind of get it, why he came, when we meet him at the cross, we're like, oh, God, yes. There is the real Jesus. Of course, he doesn't stay on the cross. He overcomes sin and death. He is resurrected. He takes our sin on the cross and he brings us life, and we're resurrected with him. That's my story. I met Jesus as I had a vision of him on the cross when I was 7 years old. I believe that as we discover Jesus and declare with our mouths who he is, our hearts are changed. There's a shift. It's not a secret anymore. Who are you? Jesus, you are mine. You are my Saviour. And I love you. Just have a moment of quiet as we reflect on that question. Jesus was here today, which of course he is by his Spirit, and he says to you, who do you say I am? What would you say to him? So just think about that for a moment. Well, God, we just thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Thank you that we still have this historical evidence to show that he lived. Thank you that we have your word that tells us what you are like. We want to discover more about you, and we want to love you more. We say this morning, we love you, and we ask you to draw us closer to yourself as we take bread and wine this morning and pray for Jesus, that you will reveal more of yourself to us as we live our lives for you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One of the things that's really important that we do as church.